So after Culligan, then he went in the video business?
Yes. I started that story. He had an airplane, and somehow he got hooked up with a couple of guys that were technical. And one of them had gone to MIT and lived in Worland, Wyoming. It's hard to believe. He is really good, smart technically. And he had been reading, I think, about cable TV and the possibilities. And somebody started a TV station in Billings, Montana, which is 150 miles north of Worland. And he said, can we borrow your airplane or use your airplane? We'll dangle an antenna out the door, and we'll go look and see if we can pick up this TV signal, because you couldn't get it on the ground. So that's the way cable TV actually started everywhere. So they flew around and found a hill outside of town where they could get...
Outside of which town?
Worland, Wyoming, which was named after a guy named Worland. Chief Washakie, who was a Shoshone chief, very well-known Indian at the time, way back when, lived right in that area. That's a side story. But so they found a signal. They landed, went out with a field strength meter and an antenna where they had located that signal from Billings, put up a little, I don't know how tall it was, a tower of some sort, 40, 50 feet with a TV antenna on it, and they could get Billings. And they built a little building there and started trying to raise money. I think in that would have been 1950 or 51. I think they signed up a bunch of people at, as I recall, I could be way off on this, $100 for a pre-install. These people had to believe that my dad could actually pull this off. And he signed up quite a few people, and $100 in 50 was probably a pretty good chunk of money on a hope that this would happen. And my first recollection of that really is going out there in this tiny little building that they had built, and a little round TV set that probably was maybe 10 inches across, and people were crowded around the door trying to look at this little bitty TV set. But he raised enough money to cable from there into town, which you have to amplify it every so many hundred feet. And it must have been at least a mile out of town, maybe 2 miles out of town. So this cable wound into town, and he took it to not a hardware store, but in those days it was maybe a furniture store, one of the bigger stores in town, and the guy had a TV set, a fairly large, old, big, huge TV set, but still a little bitty screen, and put it right in the window, and we were getting Billings, Montana television.
How exciting for them, huh?
Yeah.
And for him.
Yeah, that was a big deal. I mean...
How many miles is Billings from the town
Worland,
of Wyoming?
I'm just guessing. It's got to be more than 100. But probably less than 150, something like that.
All right. So is it because of the topography of the land?
Right.
The signal, a TV signal, normally doesn't go that far.
Oh, it'll go forever, but it's line of sight. So if there's
so
a mountain...
So it was because it was line of sight,
right,
and you weren't in mountainous areas or big cities or anything?
There were mountains all the way around, but there wasn't a mountain between Billings and Worland. And west of Worland were hills. Worland's 5,000 feet to begin with, so that whole area is high mesa. I don't know, the hill, I would call it a hill rather than a mountain, had to be maybe 800 feet higher than town, and that was high enough to get the signal. But in our microwave business, we figured the curvature of the earth would, microwaves also line of sight, so you'd have a dish, you see those towers, you used to see them hardly anymore, you don't see them much anymore because fiber optics has taken over that business, but you see these tall towers with a big dish on them, and they would each be 300 feet tall and about 30 miles apart, because that's how you had to be 300 feet on each end, even on a flat area of the United States, to get around the curvature of the earth, if that makes sense, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
But in the mountains, there's a lot of microwaves. You could even bounce the microwave signal off of like a billboard made of metal, so you could bounce it and make an angle. So you could bounce it off of the top of a mountain and down to a town or something.
Right. All right, so this was in the early 50s
right.
that your father did this. Was there cable... Was he the early forerunner of cable in the United States?
He would have been. He was right in the within 2 or 3 years. Supposedly the first. There's always a question of who actually did the first because there weren't really good records on that. But it was in Pennsylvania somewhere that claims the first, and they were probably getting signals from some big city, Pittsburgh or Philadelphia. Or,
right.
They're too far from New York, but we were. Dad was in there pretty early.
Oh, yes.
I'm sure he was the first one in Wyoming.
Or in the Midwest.
Well, probably.
I mean, you go through all those states in the Midwest, probably he had to be the first, I would think. I think that's very exciting. So then, a little bit about that then. How did it grow? And
well, once we had one signal, and he started... you know, cabling up and down all the alleys in town, charging, it seemed like $5 a month for one signal. So then they started looking for a second signal, and we had to use microwave to get the second signal. He found Carter Mountain was a mountain south of Cody, which doesn't mean anything to your audience, but it would be... maybe another 100 miles west of Warland, and you could pick up Idaho Falls. They had a TV station. This was like maybe 2 years later, so it'd be 53, 4-ish. Picked that up at the top of the mountain, built a building with a generator that, because there was no electricity, that would run 24 hours a day continuously, basically forever. And they hauled fuel up to it. I remember they had a problem with the fuel freezing, slushing up to where the generator would shut off because it was really, really cold in the wintertime. They had to walk. I went there, I've only been there once in my life. They were using a microwave company, I'm trying to remember the name. Escapes me now, but they were in a magazine. I remember seeing a magazine. It was the tallest microwave site in the world in the late 50s. And anyway, they had this generator receiving this signal and then microwaving it back to Warland. A microwave requires an FCC permit and a whole bunch of governmental hoops to jump through. And he got sued by... some organization, and the NCTA, National Cable Television Association, which may have been a different name in those days, they took up the case for him and paid to litigate it. The TV stations didn't like the idea that you could take a TV signal from one place and put it to another place, but they couldn't really stop you from picking it up off air, but they could stop you through the FCC using a microwave signal that the government had to approve. And that case lasted several years, and he lost. They also had another, in the interim there, they had built another location south of Warland. But also that time, he had built four other little communities out, Thermopolis, Wyoming, Riverton, Wyoming, Grable and Basin. And instead of using microwave, we built a landline, open wire landline down to town, so we didn't have to use microwave, and we got around that rule, that microwave.
We say landline, a cable or?
No. It wasn't a cable, it was two copper wires with spacers in between them every couple of feet. I don't know how that worked, but
right.
I was a teenager by then, mm-hmm. and I actually worked on that, and remember one time one of the poles got hit by lightning, and it blew the pole into splinters probably 3 inches long mm-hmm. within 100 feet all the way around, and melted that copper wire back to the next pole on both directions. And we had to go in and splice that together, me and the guy that worked there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's
the TV station in Billings whether it was a net, it was a network station.
I'm sure it was network.
Right, right.
Probably NBC. That was, they were one of their first.
All right. So was he ever, your dad ever challenged, because he was making money off that signal?
He was never challenged. There probably, I wouldn't be surprised if there were some challenges early on, but that case law was settled pretty quickly, that he was doing nothing that anybody couldn't do with an antenna. If you were in Billings, you had to have an antenna. If you were 20 miles away, you had to have an antenna. We were just a long ways away,
right,
with an antenna.
But
so,
then he was selling it. There was never an issue with that, apparently.
Apparently not.
Right.
That I don't remember.
And we're glad he didn't, because
it would have put him out of business for sure.
Right. So you're working on it. Does it flourish? Does it really grow bigger?
He struggled the whole time. He had a lot of debt, and my mother hated debt. I think my dad was a little more willing to have debt, but it was always, they were just always worried. Although he did, I would say the kids in my school thought I was rich. I got a car when I was in high school, so I was richer than probably most of the kids. But
well, you were working, and he paid you, obviously, apparently.
I, from the time I was probably 13, I cleaned the office. I was a janitor after school. I always went there and mopped the floor and cleaned the windows and the toilet and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a very responsible kid. He gave me a key to the office, and I had a run-in with the office manager once. I was cleaning, and I was watching TV and fiddling around, and she said, "I can't leave until you're done, and I want to go home." And I said, "Well, I've got a key. You can leave whenever you want." And she fumed out of there.
Didn't realize she was talking to a responsible person.